What is up, guys? It's Graveyard Goosebumps, and I am back from the dead, hopefully for good this time, and not another long-term getaway or something like that. But, I would like to apologize to everyone who's been waiting on an episode. My gerbil's scratching at his tank like a weirdo. I have a bit of a different type of episode planned for today. It's a Dead by Daylight Part 2, because we had just gotten a new killer, and I didn't even think to wait, so we're gonna get one next month, but I feel like I should do this one now, just to, like, cover a few things. But first off, I'd like to announce that we have a Scream Season 1 episode coming, which is already drafted up and ready to go. I made it 7 days ago, I think? So it's just in the book. It's doing absolutely nothing. So eventually that will get released. A Hostel movie review, which I am really excited for, because this movie is beyond mad. It is brutal, and it's gory, and it's a good one. So definitely going to have to get that one out to you guys. A Santa Clarita Diet Season 1 review, which I am really excited for, because I love Santa Clarita Diet. They've done a lot of good stuff with it, and I can't wait to see if they do anything else with it. I doubt it, because it was discontinued, but, you know, there's always a chance. And then we have a The Forest game review, which that's the one where the plane crashes, and a father must save his son from cannibalistic mutants and travel through each cave system, fight cannibals, fight mutants in order to get to his son, which I can't wait to cover that one. There's a sequel coming for that game called Sons of the Forest, and I am so excited for that. However, I doubt it will be on Xbox. It'll probably only be on PlayStation, so PlayStation exclusive, hopefully, but I doubt it. So let's jump into this Dead by Daylight Part 2 review. So this is gonna be a short one, just because there's just some new stuff in it that I need to cover, and I really can't do much, because at the moment, they're gonna release another chapter next month, so I'll have to do a chapter next month as well to explain the perks of the new killer and survivor, which I will also do for Pyramid Head and Cheryl Mason, because this one, I'm really not up for it, but we gotta get something out. So, as you all know, as most of you know, the new killer is the Executioner, also known as Pyramid Head, which is awesome for us Silent Hill fans. Like, I feel like a lot of people jumped onto Dead by Daylight and unfamiliar with how to play the game, and only wanted to play it because of the Silent Hill chapter, which is amazing. Like, let's do it, you know? Like, I got Pyramid Head when he released, and Cheryl, and I got her to Prestige 3 already, which isn't that great, but, yeah, it's awesome. I leveled her up to level 50, because I had saved up 1,500,000 blood points, because there was an event going on in the process of this release, so I was able to get the cap, and was able to spend it all on Cheryl, which was actually quite amazing, and I was really happy about. So, the new survivor is Cheryl Mason, also known as Heather Mason, also known as Sharon Da Silva. You guys get the drift if you've seen Silent Hill and Silent Hill Revelations. It kind of just matches up, you know? The outfit is from Silent Hill Revelations, which I was really happy about, and I was confused. I was like, why is everyone calling her Cheryl? That's Heather. And they were like, no, that's not. And I was like, whatever, you know? So before I get into that stuff, I would like to discuss my favorite survivor build. So this is just my opinion, but obviously Decisive Strike, where let's say you're running this and you get unhooked in front of the killer and the killer downs you. You have a chance to hit a slightly difficult skill check in order to escape the killer's grasp, which will stun them for whatever, however long, you know, you have the rare decisive thing. But also be warned, because Decisive Strike does run out if it hasn't been used. I think they recently added that a while ago, because I was watching other people play. I think it was on PC or something, and Decisive stayed for them, but I think that's just because it's PC. PC is amazing. Everyone knows that. Saboteur, which recently they updated it to where, what was it? I can't remember how they did it, but you can no longer 99 hook, sadly, which is kind of sucky, because I always like to 99 them just in case my teammates are about to get hooked, so I can just run up and hit one, tap it, and save them. My gerbil's being weird. So they sadly took that off, but you can still sabotage the hooks using this perk without a toolbox, which I feel like is really helpful. There's one of Yui's perks that is really good with Saboteur in case you need, like, a haste boost, which I can't remember the name of it, but I'll try to remember it in the next one, just so I know it. Spine Chill. I just recently started running Spine Chill, and that sounds really stupid, because everyone's like, oh yeah, run Spine Chill, and I'm like, no dude, Dark Sense all the way. But the thing is, Dark Sense doesn't really tell you when the killer's near you. I mean, you can see him all the way on the other side of the map, but you never really know, you know? So, what Spine Chill does, it gives you an auditory warning if the killer is looking in your direction within a certain amount of meters. So, that I feel like is really helpful, because it'll tell you even if a stealth killer is looking at you, which is really helpful. Because, you know, you can't hear their heartbeat, you don't know where they're at. So, Wraith, Ghostface, Pig, Myers, it's helpful. Because I oftentimes am getting jump scared by Myers and or even Ghostface. Like, I'll get the stalking thing and I won't even know he's looking at me because I don't have Spine Chill. So now that I've started running Spine Chill, I can kind of be more aware of my surroundings, which is really good. Dance With Me. Dance With Me is actually another new one that I've started running, and I think it's only good when you're really in a chase, pretty much. When you vault a pallet or a window, you don't leave scratch marks for a certain amount of seconds, which I'm fine with leaving scratch marks, to be honest, but when I need the killer to stay on me, like, if my teammates are trying to get the last gen done, and I'm running adrenaline or something, then yes, I do need to run the killer a little bit, just so my teammates can get that generator done. Best Exhaustion perk. This can really be more of, like, an opinion-based thing, but at this point, I'm gonna say probably, I don't even want to say Dead Hard, because Dead Hard is good, but it's not, like, amazing, you know, like, it messes up a lot, and you have to time it right, or else you could screw yourself over. But I will also say, whenever I run past a killer using Dead Hard, I never get hit, but when I'm using Sprint Burst, it always ends up screwing me over, so I would say Dead Hard in that case. My favorite protection perk is probably Borrowed Time. I would say Metal of Man, but Metal of Man sometimes is really finicky with its protection hits. So, let's say you're running Borrowed Time and the killer is camping someone on the hook or in the radius of where they're at. So, if they're close enough to the hook survivor and you unhook them, they will get a extra hit. So, if they're hit by the killer, they will be put in a deep wound state to where they have to mend, but they will not go down unless hit a second time. So, it's a really good perk. It can really buy you some time. Hence the phrase, Borrowed Time, which I really like it. I think it really helps. Toxic perks. Let's talk about toxic perks. So, I would definitely say Head-On can be used as a toxic perk sometimes, but it's only if you're using it to just jump into lockers and knowing the killer is gonna go over there and just stunning him just to be an ass. But let's say if your teammate is being picked up near a locker and you jump in and jump out and stun the killer and save your teammate, I think that is okay. I mean, the killer won't, but they're the killer, so it's fine. Saboteur. Saboteur is definitely considered a toxic perk, or at least a bunch of people think it is. Because let's say the killer is refusing to go to another hook, and they're trying to hook the survivor on this hook, and the other survivors keep breaking it over and over and over. So the killer is going to eventually drop the survivor, go after the people that are breaking the hooks. This happened the other day. The killer proceeded to try to hook me on a hook, and my friends continued to break it. And eventually, he just let us all bleed out. He was done. He was tired. He was over it. Which, I mean, we kind of deserved, because we did break it up multiple times. But that's part of the game, you know? That's what we have to do. So, at the moment, my favorite survivor is probably Yui, because of her haste perk, which is really good. Like, I can just sprint over to the hook and not have to worry about getting hit while I'm on my way over there, because it works. My survivor mains at the moment are Steve Harrington, Cheryl Mason, and Yui. Steve is at the moment, he's prestige 3, level 50, so he's at max, sadly. Always breaks my heart. My favorite killers are probably Trapper, Pig, and Shape to play as. Just because Trapper, it's really easy to hide his bear traps in the tall grass, and people just step in them, and it's fun, in my opinion, because they don't think. But I do the same when I'm going against Trapper, so. Pig, her reverse bear traps definitely help a lot when you need them. Like, if you're struggling to get a 4K, you should at least be able to kill one with your reverse bear traps, as long as you're keeping on them, you know? Cheryl Mason, she is definitely a good, wait a minute, where am I? I lost my part. The Shape, his stalking is really good, like, tier 3, especially if you have infinite tier 3, oh no, the survivors are done for. End of story. It's over, you know? Which, I'm glad I haven't gone against one of those, because that would really suck. Here, let me get some water, because I am beginning to dehydrate myself. Which, I guess does happen when you run your mouth like I do. Okay. So, the least favorite killers to go against for me are probably spirits, because I feel like every spirit I've ever played against is an asshole, except for one, where that one I Kobe'd off the hook without deliverance and ran to the teammate that proceeded to let my friend die on the hook, and I ratted my teammate out to her, and she let me go. She gave me hatch, and I was like, hey, thank you for being cool and not being an ass, because they really deserved it. And she was like, yeah, it's a good thing you had deliverance. No, not deliverance. It's a good thing you had that 4% on your side, or else they wouldn't have came to get you. And I was like, yeah, I know. But I think that's the only spirit I've ever encountered that was actually really friendly. The Nightmare, aka Freddy Krueger, is also one of the ones I hate going against, because I feel like his lunge is really broken, like his hitboxes. He has, like, extendo arms. Like, I'll be vaulting a pallet, and he'll be, like, not even at the pallet, and he'll hit me, and it'll hit, and I just, like, am like, what was that reach? And a lot of Freddies I've played against are always spamming the dream snares, and it's exhausting, like, and then they raise their shoulders like they're shrugging at you. And it's a pain in the ass, I will say that. Ghostface. I love Ghostface, don't get me wrong. I love him to death. But almost 98% of the time, the Ghostface you're gonna play against is an asshole. Except the one that we played against the other day. His internet sadly went out while we were in the middle of a game. But he was streaming, so we ended up joining his stream, and we were like, hey, GG, you were awesome, and we had a really good time. Like, he wasn't toxic. It was a challenge, and he had a good time too, and that's all that matters. But Ghostface, I just feel like they're usually really toxic, and they usually are tunneling for no reason. However, it is fun to photobomb when they're doing their Mori, and I will say that. Like, whenever I get Moried by Ghostface, I'm always like, hey, get in the picture, like, come on. And my friends just crouch in, and it's great. Like, we all have a good time, usually. My favorite killer perks when I'm playing killer, this is gonna sound stupid, because I technically am not a baby killer, but I'm not a great killer either. I'm only a rank 14, but that is because I rarely play killer. So, I really like running Ruin, Nurse's Calling, which Ruin, it'll knock down the progression on the generator if it's not being worked on, which I really like, but they're saying they want to fix the gens again, because apparently gen rushing is still a thing, which I hardcore disagree with, because I've gotten 4Ks with only 2 generators done, because the teammates were just slacking off the entire game, which I don't care, I got a 4K, who cares, but, Nurse's Calling, where if the survivors are healing, you can see their auras pretty much, which I feel like is really helpful, especially when you're just, you don't know where anyone else is and they're just healing up. However, sometimes this is a little broken. Whispers, which I really don't run anymore because it's just a waste of time. I like Iron Grasp better, definitely, because they'll break the hook and I'll just be carrying the survivor like, okay, no big deal. I can walk to another hook. I have time, which they think that it's cute, but it's not, but who cares? And Noed, No One Escapes Death, which I've gotten a lot of backlash from this, from using Noed. I just was in a fight with someone on TikTok about Noed. So as a survivor main, I do hate Noed, but here's the thing. If you don't want Noed to happen, cleanse your totems. There are only 5 totems on the map. Cleanse them, and Noed will not activate. And one of the excuses was, well, what if I don't want to do totems? Then deal with Noed. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. I run Noed because it's kind of like a last resort for me. But either way, the people usually save their team. So if you don't want to deal with Noed, then cleanse the totems. It's not that difficult. There is only 5 on the map. My least favorite survivor is definitely Quentin Smith for personal reasons, but more the reason because of his perks. They're not that great. And his face, he looks like a Dobby, or that little fella from Lord of the Rings. That's who he looks like. So, I've heard a rumor that they're trying to get his face reworked, but I feel like that's not really a big problem at the moment. I think we really need to focus on matchmaking, which brings me to the next thing. But matchmaking needs to be fixed. We need hitboxes fixed as well. Hitboxes have gotten a little bit better, I will say that. But I feel like we're still struggling with them. So they need to fix all that stuff first before we focus on his fucking face rework, honestly. Not to mention, you gotta fix Quentin, you gotta fix Nia, because Nia looks like a bridge goblin, and so does Nancy. So, matchmaking. So, this is a recent thing, and I'm really not happy with it, because matchmaking in matches now depends on how well you play instead of your rank, which I feel like is kind of biased, because there could be days where you're playing really good, and there could be days where you're failing because of the randoms that you're playing with, because most of the time, the randoms are leaving me to die on the hook. Which is why I've had to run Deliverance lately, which sometimes I don't even get to use because I get hooked first, which kind of sucks. But it's really difficult to play the game when you're getting potatoes as teammates. So, recently we got a Leatherface rework, which I think is wrong. It's awful. I hate it. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I would rather eat chalk than go against a Leatherface at this moment. He's definitely a lot more overpowered than usual. His chainsaw attack is so long, and even if you cut corners, you're pretty much fucked if you end up getting hit by the chainsaw. Next up, Franklin's demise. Franklin's has always been a really cool perk, in my opinion. But what they've done now is a little much. So, Franklin's demise revolves around the fact that once they hit you with this perk, your item will drop. But if you don't pick it up within a certain amount of time, it will eventually disappear. Which is really upsetting, because I had a purple med kit the other day, and Bubba hit me, and I ended up going on a chase for him, and eventually I did get hooked, and I went back to grab my med kit, and it was gone. And I was so upset, because I hadn't even got to use it. It was the beginning of the game. And my friend was like, "Do you want mine?" I was like, "No, my heart's broken. I want my purple med kit." So, that was annoying, to say the least. But, Pyramid Head's cages. So, one thing I like about this is now Pyramid Head cannot see where his cages are. And if he does so happen to find someone in the cage will move somewhere else. Which I really like because it makes it so he cannot camp. However, once you are out of the cage, you are unable to use, like, it counts as a hook, but it doesn't count for a decisive strike activation. So, let's say he ends up finding you right after you're out of the cage. He can tunnel you, and you won't have decisive, which I very strongly dislike, actually. Because, it's like, damn, like, it counts as a hook, but you can't use it as one. So, let me think. So, I've already covered this, but possible killers, which I've actually been really trying to get this one in, which I'm working really hard on it, so hopefully it will come into play, but who knows. I'm trying to get a Lost Boys chapter for Dead by Daylight. And here's what I'm thinking. David from The Lost Boys as a killer. And his cosmetics are his vampire face. Or the other cosmetics could possibly be the other Lost Boys members. Like Marco, Paul, Dwayne. And I think that would be really cool to see. The survivor would probably be Edgar Frog. And his cosmetics would be his outfit with his bandana, his red bandana. I feel like that would be amazing. What else was I thinking? For the map, it could be the boardwalk that leads down into the caves. I know they're not exactly right next to each other, but I feel like it would be really interesting to see that. And the map token could be a Batman number 14 comic, which I've actually been talking about this to someone, and he thinks it's a really cool idea. We just need the developers to kind of put it into place, which hope would occur, but we'll have to see. Other possible killers I really want are Candyman, which I feel like Candyman will be coming to this. I feel like they're waiting until the new movie drops. Hopefully, we'll get him and maybe Helen as a survivor, but I doubt it. But either way, Candyman would be a cool killer. Alpha or Beta from The Walking Dead. Like, I feel like they would be really interesting. I don't know what exactly their power would be, but I feel like Negan would make a pretty cool survivor. Negan or Carol. I would be completely fine with that. Jeepers Creepers, which, once again, I doubt they will end up doing because of the person who directed the film, who is a pedophile, which I love Jeepers Creepers. I love the films. Not the third one, though. We don't talk about the third one. But I feel like a survivor who would be really cool is maybe Trisha or even Derry. But I doubt that'll even occur. Kayako Saeki from The Grudge, which I also doubt will happen. But I really have high hopes for it, so I really hope they'll make it happen. So, yeah. And, is there anything I forgot to cover? I feel like there's something I forgot to cover. Did I do everything? I must have, but ah well. Well, that's it for this episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed this, and I promise they will be longer next time when my voice isn't so scratchy, and I will have another episode here in about a week, hopefully. So stay creepy, guys.